Right, the reading today is 2 Kings 5, verses 1 to 15. Naaman healed of leprosy. Now Naaman was a commander in the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given him victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel. She served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you can cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and he said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a message to him. "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand on the call on the name of God, Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and he went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored, and he became clean, like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all of his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Right, if you could just let me through with this. Thank you. You know what I'm doing? All right, okay. You can help me then. Right, okay. So I absolutely love that story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament part of the Bible. Can you guys just move back a little bit so I don't spill anything or drop anything on you? Because there are a few dangerous things up here, like rat traps and various other things, blindfolds, water, and a very dangerous thing, my Bible. If that falls on you, you'll know about it. But let's just refresh yourself with that story. So it's about a Syrian general. He was a very well-to-do man, but he was very sick. He had a disease called leprosy. Now, you guys at the front here might not know what that is, but I'm sure these guys do, because some of them actually raise money to fight against that disease, and they raise a lot of money all through the year for it. Nowadays, the disease is curable. Am I right in saying that? Yes, it's curable. But back in the Bible days, if you got this disease, that was it. You were going to be a goner. And worse than that, what it did is it rotted a lot of your flesh so that your finger ends would drop off or part of your nose would fall off and you'd have sores and you'd look really, really unpleasant to look at. And people were thrown out of their communities because people didn't want to be around them. Of course, because they didn't want to get it themselves, did they, for a start? So here's this really amazing man, but yet he's got leprosy. And he hears, doesn't he, because somebody from Israel comes and said, there's a prophet, he can heal you if you could only get to him. So he goes to his king, gets permission to go, takes a stack of money with him, and off he hops into Israel. But instead of going to the prophet, the man of God, what does he do? Where does he go? He goes to see the king. The king's like, don't, am I God, he says, that I can heal? And it says the king ripped his clothes because he was so upset about it. So when the prophet heard about it, he said, send him to me and I'll show them that God is real. And he came, and what instructions did he give him? Anybody remember what instructions that Elisha gave to him? Yes, Nima. Bathe seven times. Go to the River Jordan, bathe seven times. Seems a fair request, doesn't it? Just to go and have a swim in a river. But Naaman went away angry. He thought the rivers where he came from were better and cleaner. So he didn't want to do it. But his little servant challenged him and said, come on, if he'd asked you to go and do something really hard, like fight a giant or do something, you'd have done it. So go and do it. And what happened when he bathed seven times? He was healed. God's power healed him. So we're just going to try and explain that a little bit to you this morning. And this is quite a dangerous thing. Now, I picked a dangerous thing because leprosy pretty was fatal, okay? So this thing is a rat trap, okay? These are very, very dangerous, all right? So I'm going to set it, if I can, without losing my fingers, all right? So I'm going to put that there. And I'm going to stick that on there. Right. Oop. Right. Now, I've actually got, I don't know if you know this, but rats like chocolate. They don't like cheese. If you want to catch a rat, you've got to get chocolate. Hold on. Put it on the table. Is that where I need to do it? Right. Okay. Right. Right. This did actually work when it just did. Right, okay. I'm going to put that on there. Ah, right, okay. Right, we're here. Right, I've got it. Right. Right. That's why I wanted you back there. Now, you see, for Naaman, really, it was like what he got was like being caught in a rat trap, unless something really dramatic happened. He was actually out. Oof. Well, that's all right. I've got all my fingers. Are you okay? Yeah. Did you panic there? All right, it's all right. Right, okay. Let's just set that again one more time. Right, I'm going to put it on here now. I think that's safe, isn't it?
Yeah, that's safe.
Nima's moving back. Right. Okay, so that's safe. There we go. That's all right. Don't panic. It's fine. So let's think about Naaman then. He's like caught in a rat trap. Unless something really changes for him, his life's going to be ended. And actually, he's beginning to live a bit of a miserable life. It was a horrible disease to have to live with. So the first thing that he actually does is he goes to the king after he hears about this man who can do miracles in Israel. So actually, rather than trusting in the God, he begins, actually his first thing is to ask a king if he can be helped. So he's asking, he's looking for something that's a man-made solution to his problem. And the king, of course, says, yes, you can go. The second thing that he actually takes, is he takes money with him. Now, some of you might actually have seen this if you're in schools, okay? But imagine this is Naaman, okay? So he starts off, he didn't have leprosy at all. So his skin would be quite pure and not full of sores and things. But as leprosy develops, it became, his skin would have become very, very mucky. So his first thing that he's trying to do is he's trying to almost sort it out himself by going to the king. Because not only did he go to the king, what did he take with him? He took money. Yeah, he thought, if I've got enough money, I can buy and I can pay for this cure. Right. Now, I've got a spoon, so if I could just fish out this, like, muck in here. Is it working?
No.
Right, yeah. So I can't buy the cure to my problem. Oh, that's a real shame, isn't it? So money couldn't buy him what he needed. Now, when he arrived in Israel, he went to the king. The king of Israel says he was upset because he couldn't. Could he cure that?
No,
he says only God can do miracles like that. Only God's power can do miracles like that. And I don't know if you know this, but there's a verse in the Bible. It says that, you know, when we think about Jesus, when we think about being saved, when we think about being born again, it says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, to those that don't know him. Now, I don't know if you adults have ever spent any time really thinking quite deeply about the message of the cross. Before I became a Christian, when I was really wrestling with should I become a Christian or not, and somebody told me, all you've got to do is you need to believe in Jesus. I thought, well, that's easy enough. You've got to believe that he died for you on a cross. And then he came back to life 3 days later. And because he did that, all of your sins, all of my sins could be forgiven. And I can know God for myself. In other words, I would have healing, not for my body necessarily, but for my soul, for my spirit. And when I was sat there thinking about that, and I'm thinking, that can't be right, surely. Surely you have to be a good person. Isn't that a good thing to do?
Yeah.
We'll talk to you later. Surely just being a good person would be enough. And then I wrestle, what about all the other religions? How can this one thing be true? But that Bible verse says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. But you know, when I finally believed in Jesus and I believed in his cross, I didn't fully understand all of it about it. I understand a bit more now. That actually it says that it's the power of God to salvation. In other words, through the cross, God's power to save and to heal is actually given. Now, our friend Naaman, when he got to see the prophet, and the prophet said, Naaman, shout it out again. How many times did he have to bathe?
Seven
times in the River Jordan. He was like, no way, because the River Jordan probably was quite mucky and maybe not as nice as the rivers where he came from, where the water came straight out of the mountains and it was crystal clear. And he thought, if I could just bathe in the nice crystal clear water, then surely that will be good enough. So we see if that's good enough. No, that's just made it worse, hasn't it? And you know, the Bible says that it's the same for us. It says that where we trust other things to know God or to save us and to know Jesus, it's no good. It says we can only be saved by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. No other way. So that doesn't work either. So the power of God only comes through... What's that? Yeah, so it only comes through the cross. Only comes through Jesus. Now, Naaman, He had to put his faith in what he was told that God was going to do. Now, do you think that was an easy thing to do? To put his faith and his trust in that? I think it must have been fairly easy. It was just his pride, wasn't it? But because he did it, what actually happened? That's right. After seven times bathing, Naaman was completely cured, completely healed. I think it deserves a clap. I think so. But you know, we start our Christian life exactly the same way that Naaman had to. He simply had to put his faith in what God had said. And if God says the cross, that is the only way in which you could be saved and know God, then that's what we have to simply do. We put our faith and our trust in what God says. What happens if we try and put our faith and trust in something else? It does not work. Only through God. And what he said is, for us, it's the cross of Jesus Christ that heals and saves us. But that's not always easy, is it? Now, I'm holding this very carefully. Because I wonder if there's anybody who's willing to take that sweet. Put your hands down. In a second. Gillian, was it Adam that did his thumb, wasn't it? So shall I chop the fingers off of another one of yours?
No.
Yeah. Right, so Alana, you're actually going to trust me to give you that, and you're going to take the sweet off the end.
You give it to me.
Right. I tell you something, you've seen how sensitive that you're going to have to be. I mean, I'm going to walk very slow, right? Because this is trust, okay? Right. Actually, you can come up here. People want to see this, don't they? Right. Hey, stand up here. Right, we've got a doctor in the room. Right. Are you ready?
No.
You've got to be very... Don't try and snatch it, okay? Because you'll set it off.
Okay.
So, as carefully... You sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
Oh, hold. You've got to come over the top. You can't whip it off the edge.
Why?
No, you've got to come over the top. Over here.
No, you don't, because I'll set it off.
You have
to go on the side.
No, you can't go on the side. That's cheating. Yeah. Well done. Right, next. I think we'll have an adult do it, shall we? Okay. All right, Ethan. Okay. Sorry, Lucy. Right. So, Ethan, again, what you need to do. So, you're trusting what I've said that you'll be perfectly okay. All right. All you've got to do is just take the sweet. All right, and it's yours. Okay. There is a queue waiting. You've just got to get over the, it's the mind games, all right? Okay, so you've got to trust me what I've said, all right? Can you do it? Right, I think I've got one more. No, it's an all-age service, so I think I need to come round to one of the adults now, okay? So I'm just going to pick on somebody. It says Victor. Are there any guests who've been here for the first time? So this is welcome to Mansfield Baptist Church, okay? Okay, just remember it's psychology. Do you know what she said? Oh, it's a Malteser. Right, hold on. Let me very carefully. You've got to come over the top so you don't touch the trap. If you knock the trap, you'll set it off.
Have a go.
It's supposed to have a padlock on it.
Yeah.
Right, we'll just try one more. Okay. Fortunately, I've run out of sweets because it does actually work. Right, fantastic. Sit down. So really, that was what it's like to trust, isn't it? At that moment, Ethan, how did you feel as you were just going over to get that sweet? Did you have any doubts? Did you not think, this is not a good idea? No? And that's really what trust is like, isn't it? And it's exactly the same with our faith, isn't it? We cannot always see the outcome of what God promises. When we come to faith, we don't always see totally the outcome of what that means, but we have to trust that what Jesus said is true. It says that the message of the cross is the power of God to salvation. And if we put our faith and our trust in Him, then what we find is actually He meets us and our life changes in amazing and incredible ways. There's just one quick thing I want to just share with the adults, and it is this, is that for a lot of us, isn't it, you know, the Word of God is full of the promises of God. There's literally thousands upon thousands of promises that are given for you as a believer, because we come to God in faith, and then we continue to live by faith. Of course, we experience God's goodness, His love, and we experience when we've been in a tight spot, maybe somebody's been ill or something, and maybe you've seen them been healed. You've seen God do something that builds your faith. Because and as you read God's word and as you become more familiar with it and you begin to realize that actually these promises are for you, you find actually that your faith will continue to grow. Let me just read you this verse from Isaiah. It says, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. He says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And if you want to be a believer that is strong, then trusting in God's promises is what is going to build that up. How do we trust them? It doesn't say that we hype ourselves up. It says, first of all, in repentance. It's turning to God and saying, do you know what, God? I cannot do this. And I'm going to continue to trust you. Well, what about if the circumstances are really bad? We still have to say, in you I trust. I'm turning to you. I'm not going to try and solve all this in my own strength. And then what does it say? And rest in quietness, not hype, is your strength. And I'm sure for a lot of us, there may be many of you here today that are facing situations. You're facing things in life. Maybe you don't even know Jesus at all. And maybe you're thinking, could I put my faith in something I cannot see? What difference will that make? But let me tell you this, that story teaches us that when we act on that faith, on the promise, because Elisha promised, he said, if you bathe 7 times, you will be healed. You look at the promises of God, they're always, trust me, and this is what the outcome is. Now, often, sometimes we have to wait for promises, don't we? The best promises, they're not that. Think about Abraham. He received a promise that his descendants would be as many as the stars in the sky. And he hadn't even got a baby at that point. He had to wait 25 years for the right baby to come along. I mean, you lot here, you wouldn't wait 5 minutes, would you, if I'd got a chocolate here in my hand? Yeah. Would you wait till the end of the service to have it?
Yeah.
Exactly, no. You'd eat it. You'd be here taking it off me, wouldn't you? Because we're instant people. But God's promises, often, they unfold. They're given. We treasure them, but they unfold over time. Think about your own life when you've been in difficulties. I know from some of your testimonies and stories that what happens is God's given you a promise. It was a year ago, but it's only right now that that promise is beginning to be unfolded and you can see it and it's near. Think about Abraham. He lived all of his life knowing that the promised Savior of the world was going to come through his line thousands of years ahead. He didn't even get to see the end of his promise, but he could say he continued in faith, knowing that what God had promised that he would do. We're going to respond to that. I'm going to ask the group to come back up, and I'm going to need you guys to come and give me a hand. So if you can grab a bowl, just share, wait till I say go, yeah. Maybe go in twos, okay? So what I want you to do is want to, as we're singing this song, you can take that one, Riley. We're going to give everybody this little piece of paper. It's you might know what it is, but I'll keep you in suspense. But what I don't want you to do, don't tell them, Mercy. I don't want you to open it, okay? I don't want you to open it now. I don't want you to open it when you get home. When you get home, what I want you to do is just stick it in a little bowl of water. I did this yesterday, and guess what happened? No, nothing. Yeah, but this is the lesson. I had to wait. I stood there, and I waited, and guess what happened? Nothing. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we've just cut 100 of those out. And then very slowly, it began to open, and I still couldn't see it, and I had to wait. And it must have been a minute or more, which felt like forever, because I was jobs to do. And it opened, and it's a flower, and in there is a promise of God for you. Now, I've done this before, and sometimes this gets a bit prophetic, okay? Because I trust God that he will work this out. I don't know how he's going to do it. Because these guys are going to give them out to you or let you pick one. But mostly when I've done this, people have always come up and said, do you know what? I don't know how it happened, but that promise was just for me. For a particular circumstance, something going on. So as you take them, ask God for that promise for you to take away today. Take it home and wait.